Well, it's the first weekend of May here in Iowa. Life is like the Garden of Eden outside. It's warm and sunny. The trees are leafing out. A mama robin has made her nest on my porch, and the smell of new flowers is in the air. It's a beautiful time of year, my favorite, in fact. I love this time of year, not only for how gorgeous the weather is, but for all of the meaningful rituals we get to observe in the church calendar. May, of course, is the month every year when we celebrate the flower ceremony, Mother's Day, Memorial Day, the end of the faith formation year, and graduations of all kinds, from kindergarten all the way up to college graduations. And this year, I am especially excited to add to the list my daughter's first birthday coming up on May 22nd. We have a big party planned, and you are all invited. Casey's family is going to be in town. My family is going to be in town. Our daughter is going to meet family and make new friends. We are going to cook out and have a big potluck, and we're going to share cake and ice cream. We even hired a photographer to come and capture the whole thing. It's going to be great. Oh, wait. I must be dreaming. Actually, none of that is going to happen, right? I must have forgot for a second that we are in the middle of a global pandemic and nothing is normal this year. And that makes me sad. I want my daughter to have a first birthday party. Maybe not as elaborate as the one I just described, but a little something. I realize it's largely for selfish reasons, of course. If we did have one, she wouldn't remember it. But her mama and I would. You see, we are marking this transition as much as she is, as we become the parents of a one-year-old. But of course, we are going to experience it practicing social distancing, and we haven't actually figured out yet what the big day will look like. I'm a little sad about this. And yet I realize my daughter's first birthday is small potatoes, really, compared to what other people and families are going through at this time. We will have more birthdays to celebrate. But right now, all over the world, some of our eldest members of society are marking their birthdays alone, not knowing if they will have another one. People are losing loved ones and are unable to get the family together to have a proper memorial service. High school seniors are missing out on all the capstone experiences of high school, prom, sports, theater, graduation, and more. College graduates are graduating into the worst economy in anyone's living memory, and none of us want any of this. We are each grieving huge losses, meeting milestones and crossing thresholds significantly differently than any of us had planned. My first thought when facing all of this grief is that I just want to fix it. I just want to fix things, make it better, and resolve the problem. I've been doing a lot of that lately. As the coronavirus pandemic began, I went into a tough problem-solving mode, learning quickly how to do all kinds of new things, like how to lead worship online, for example, how to keep the church staff and all of you safe, how to work from home while taking care of a baby, how to deposit checks when my bank is closed, how to order groceries online, and countless other things I hadn't been planning on learning. But I figured it out. And I have seen a lot of you all doing this kind of thing as well. And look what we've accomplished. We're here, worshiping online together. We're doing all kinds of new things. Through all of our striving and hard work, we have solved a lot of problems. With industriousness and dedication, most of us have gotten through this first phase of the coronavirus crisis. Well done. And now, we find ourselves on a new threshold, squarely in liminal space, in between what was, and what will be. To put it another way, if we were swinging on a trapeze right now, making the move from one bar to the other, this is the moment when you have to let go of the first bar and you haven't quite grasped the next one. This is the moment we are suspended in midair in between what was and what will be, in between one thing and the next. It can be a scary place, full of grief around what was, perhaps what you didn't want to let go of, and fear of the unknown. You may be uncomfortable here, and you may want to just get right out of the situation. I get that. But problem-solving skills are pretty useless here. It is impossible to push through liminal space, to speed past the loss or solve your way out of grief. As writer and grief advocate Megan Devine says, grief no more needs a solution than love needs a solution. We cannot triumph over death, loss, or grief. They are immovable elements of being alive. If we continue to come at them as though they are problems to be solved, we'll never get solace or comfort in our deepest pain. So here, in liminal space, we need a new strategy. We can't simply fix everything. Productivity was helpful these last few months. But I wonder if now we find ourselves in a time when we need to be less busy and more soulful. Perhaps we are in a time when we need to surrender. Surrendering doesn't usually sound like a good idea to our modern ears. But Susan Beaumont reminds us that to surrender does not mean giving up or giving in. It does not mean we languish or grow lazy. Quite the opposite. It means we lean into the disorientation and trust the leading of the Spirit. To surrender is to let go, let the old things die. To lean into the disorientation of this time, allowing ourselves to be here, fully present, mindful. It is time to make space for the new, to experiment, to take risks, to learn new things and new ways of being. To surrender is to make meaning in liminal space. To surrender is to get really creative as we do that meaning-making work. And as you have probably noticed, people are marking major milestones this year in amazingly creative ways. Memorial services are being held on Zoom. We had a wedding here at People's Church a few weeks ago on Zoom. Birthday parties are taking place online as well, and in some cases, in the form of actual parades, as family and friends each get in their own cars and drive by the home of their loved one to wave and shout happy birthday. I've heard of this happening for a 4-year-old and for a 94-year-old, and I know it meant the world to both of them. Folks are sending each other letters in the mail again, birthday cards, graduation notes. High schools and colleges are figuring out ways to honor their seniors and host graduation ceremonies, either online or in some other socially distant way. I read about a school in Iowa this week that is considering having a drive-up location for seniors to go and receive their diplomas through their car window. So as you see, despite the physical distance, people are engaging in meaningful celebrations and creating new ways of doing things, new ways of crossing thresholds. For we are a resilient, creative people. It is gorgeous, and it is so sweet to behold. But it's not entirely free of sadness. So just in case anyone needs this reminder today, remember that it's okay to be sad. if you won't be able to walk across that stage physically, if you won't be able to have that birthday party, see your grandkids, or get married physically surrounded by your friends and family. It's okay to not be okay. Liminal space brings us in touch with the whole human experience, all of it. All the emotions, grief and loss, love and hope. My hope for you is that you can be present to whatever it is you are feeling today and as time goes on. Trust that in the course of a day or a week, you may feel all kinds of things, all kinds of ups and downs. That's normal. It's okay. It's part of grief. It's part of hope. It's part of transformation. John Buren's reminds us to be brave and share our feelings, the full spectrum of them, to share them with others whenever we experience grief and loss. He describes it as a paradox of grief and mourning. Grieving, we each do alone. We each do it in our own way. No one else can do it for us. Often we're tempted in grief to pull inward, protecting memories and feelings that seem wounded and torn. But Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." And that's something we do together. Whenever we share those feelings, then, we're not alone. Then we enter into the deepest communion known to humankind, the fellowship of those who've known the mark of pain, of vulnerability, and in learning that we are not alone, we are blessed. Blessed with a continued caring in which we're deeply connected, in which we encounter something immortal. So, as we collectively cross this major threshold before us, from the status quo of yesterday into an unknown future, and as we each individually continue to cross all the smaller but no less significant milestones in our lives, let us be blessed and creative and connected. Even though we may feel all kinds of different things, including sadness or anger, grief is like that. It includes a whole bunch of feelings. Let us enter into deep communion with humanity and all of creation. Let us tap into the deep reservoir of resilience within. Let us be grateful for each smile, wave, card, phone call, Zoom meeting, gift, every creative effort to mark the occasion and thus our shared humanity. Let us be in communion with one another. This is far from the first time people have lived and thrived through a global hardship. I've heard people of my grandparents' generation talk about what life was like during World War II. One person I know who was living in France at the time as a young girl will tell anyone who asks how magnificent Christmas morning was during the war, because she received for Christmas a single orange. A single orange. A blessing. When the world was upside down and nothing felt normal, a simple offering was more than enough and became the Christmas she will always remember the most. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the creative. Blessed are the resilient. Blessed are we all. May you be blessed on your way through this difficult time. May you find the rituals and connections you need. May your spirit be lifted, and may you lift the spirit of others. None of us is alone, for we are in this together, and we will make meaning in this liminal time at this new threshold. May this be so. Amen, and blessed be.